Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Today is the 3rd of August. I don't know. It's interesting. Well, Cody, you probably aren't as aware of Vin Scully as what Rex and I are.
I know, but the voice. Yep.
Yeah. I'm kind of spinning on it a little bit, which is really weird. The fact, you know, he died last night. Hadn't been broadcasting for a while, but when they started replaying some of the highlights, you know, he was part of the CBS radio network when they were doing sports back in the 80s. So I remembered some of that stuff. And, you know, obviously I remember Eck giving up that home run that I hate to see the videos on. Showing that, and then the football. You know, that was the one that the rest of the country heard, was his rendition of the catch rather than Don Klein's that we heard. You know, some of those iconic things, and then Koufax's perfect game and all. Another era going by, the sidelines. And just,
yeah, he called 20 no-hitters and 3 perfect games.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
And he was, I mean...
I'd happen to be there for Aaron's blast, yeah. You know, just because Downing gave up... God, listen to me like I remember this stuff.
He said that
Downing
was,
giving up the 7-15.
Remember what he said? He says, this is a great day in America, something to basically... He says, where a black man in the South is getting a standing ovation.
Yeah.
He says, for a feat that we thought we'd never see.
And yeah, and beating, you know, an icon.
Yeah.
You know, who
yeah.
happened to be white. Yeah.
Yeah. He was a poetry in motion with sports. And, I mean, you can't really think about sports. It's like somebody said, he's the embodiment of sports announcers. And there's been a lot of great ones and everything else. But he didn't sing. He didn't sing in the seventh inning. And Harry Carey, you know,
right.
He didn't do a lot of.
He and Lon and Russ.
He just put you in the middle of the game. And especially, you know, I can remember my dad, his favorite line was, he says, I'm going to bed to watch the radio. Because he was going to bed to listen to the Giants game or Ira Blue back in those days and stuff like that. And he made it easy to watch the radio.
Yeah, I still like Simmons, you know, Lon's approach.
Yeah.
Rather than the Red Barber, Vin Scully, you know, where you are a commentator, you're not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Different styles. Oh, okay. But he had one great line that I have always resonated with. And when Macaulay and I were doing football, I mean, that was kind of the stuff that we would play with, is you start out with a blank canvas. And you're the artist.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to fill in and paint the picture for the audience.
In a 2-1 ball game and a 12-1 ball game, you still have to keep them interested. That's the hardest
thing. Oh, and that's the talent. You know, there was one game, Ernie Harwell, or one series, Ernie Harwell and Vin Scully were working together. It was like, you know, how do you go beyond that? I hope those tapes still exist somewhere.
See, you might be going over Cody's head a little bit. Now bring Amelia.
Bring
Amelia Earhart and a few.
Midwest. I thought Harwell would at least register with him.
No, I was more Jack Buck. He called a lot of the 87 and 91 Minnesota Twins World Series stuff. But Scully, when you mentioned tapes, Brian, him and Jack, and just some of those voices. As a kid, I wore out tapes watching, you know, the VHSs of the games that they called. And when you heard those voices, it was like a voice from heaven, and it just drew you in because you were interested, like Rex said, whether it was 2-1 or 12-1, you wanted to watch, you wanted to be a part of that. And,
you didn't want to miss.
Those voices were special, yeah.
Yeah, because you never knew when the line was going to be delivered.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and with the, I don't know where Jack Buck was, but if you listen to the cutaway for Scully doing the catch, Stram is in there talking about and look for, and you can kind of hear, you know, the way that the two used to go back and forth.
Right, right.
And then there it is.
Yeah.
And he even got excited about it.
Yeah.
Which was a rarity unto its own.
And those guys really educated the audience as they went, too, like John Madden with football, and we lost him you know, not so far back. And it was almost a learning experience as a kid listening to those voices. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and just
so you guys know, Joe Buck is not going to fill any of these voids.
No. Who dat? Yeah, yeah, there's a craft to it, and it's not genetic.
Right.
It's a craft.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, kind of fun listening to some of the other broadcasters throughout.
And I think
the
it was the only time I've ever been happy the Dodgers won on the day Vin Scully passed. It did not make me happy, but it made it tolerable.
And close. Yeah. You know, both it was like, that could be one that he would have presented nicely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
67 years, the voice of the Dodgers.
Yeah. And the fact that he was willing to relocate. He and Hodges were willing to locate.
Yeah.
Barber wasn't, and then the number two one on the Giants wasn't willing to come out to the West Coast.
Yeah.
And that's how Lon got. You know, he just happened to be the new kid hired. Okay, you're going for the ride. Okay.
Have fun. His version of Wally Pipp or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, if you don't recognize the voices yet, Rex Bone is here along with Cody Raggetts, both from the county, both baseball fans, which is kind of nice that
huge baseball.
We're all here together. Well, yeah, okay. Some of us are larger than others. We'll just kind of leave it there, okay, Smarty?
It's hard to be a Twins fan right now.
Well, they did pretty good on the trades yesterday.
Yeah.
All right. You guys ready for why do we say? Oh, this could be a collaboration.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Why do we say pull a fast one?
I think he set this up, Rex.
I think it's all on you, Flyboy.
I never get these. Again, educating.
All right. Should someone try to pull a fast one on you, take charge. Look at the details carefully and insist that sales talk or shuffled papers be slowed down. If you don't, there's a good chance you'll lose. That's probably what happened many times during or soon after the 1920s. Many an obscure baseball pitcher seemed mediocre until a moment of crisis. That's when he would pull a fast one, hurling a ball at such speed that the batter would be caught off guard. Another deception centered on movements of a dancer. Using a Confederate or a shill, many a sharpster shuffled clumsily for maybe 10 or 15 minutes. When onlookers were persuaded to wager about his skill, he would pull a fast one. That is, he would move his feet so fast it was impossible for them to follow. Emulating the baseball pitcher who suddenly develops a blistering speed, and maybe the shuffle dancer as well, there are folks who will try to pull a fast one or get away with a smooth swindle in almost any area of activity.
Brian did his homework relating to the baseball conversation, bringing that one up this morning.
Well, yeah, I think we've all had people set things up, and then all of a sudden they deliver. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like this one. Segment's done. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jimbo Hannett Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jimbo Hannett Show. I'm Jimbo Hannett. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County First District Supervisor Rex Bone and, noted flyboy, apparently. Oh, jeez.
Aviation Director Cody Rowe.
Yeah. Oh, now you're kissing up. What's that about?
Esquire. HR just texted me.
Oh, jeez. So as we look at what the airport is going to be, the build out, whatever it is, what's the one thing people are going to get blown away by?
I think just the magnitude of what we're on the cusp of doing. Since I was last in, Brian, we had an announcement working with Representative Huffman's office and the FAA. We put a lot of hours in over the last couple of years to justify a grant request that we had to repave our main runway at ACV, which was last done in the early 90s, and upgrade an electrical system that's 50, 60, 70 years old, different components are. And That was a huge win for us, that announcement of almost $13.5 million.
It was a couple weeks ago.
Yep, yeah. Yep. And, you know, that's going to be big inside the fence. And then here in the coming months, we're going to have some announcements outside the fence or more public-facing with the parking lot work that we intend to undertake.
Okay, what we talked about.
Yep, yep. Okay. So, you know, we're between the microgrid and these projects we have that we're about to start. It's going to be a $40 to $50 million change at ACV, and that's,
is that the value? Are we going to? Is the customer going to experience that $40 to $50 million improvement?
They really are, and what it is, you know, when you go down the runway, you know, sitting in the back of a United or a Velo aircraft, you don't
lift.
You don't really notice. Is the pavement great or isn't it? But this project that we're going to undertake is going to set us up where we don't have to do a dramatic change or shut the runway down in a big way in the next 15, 20 years. So really, we're building for the future, and that structure will be ready for hopefully the growth that we experience moving forward.
Rex, I'm sure you get lots of comments about the airport because your number is easier to make contact with than his.
I pick up the phone.
Yeah. Throw it down, wonder why it's making noise. Yeah. Well, have any of the comments about the airport changed in the last...
And I do have to say, Cody answers when I call. So, I mean, you know.
Well, yeah,
and that's
it says
nice.
boss. Yeah.
No, I like to think I work with him, but I.
He does.
No, we've got a good relationship. Yeah, there were some complaints, and we're working on it. We're trying to get more staffing up there. We've got some great private relationships, private partners that are helping out with some of the other hangars, building those up that had deteriorated to the tune of almost to the point of teardown, but we're bringing those back. We've got the new fire structure building, and somebody brought up the other day that, boy, why do we have to have such an elaborate fire structure building? I said, that's because we hope to never use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's allowed for other storage and things like that. So there's some big upgrades happening up there, and as you talked about the parking, how we're going to do the parking structure and how we're going to move forward in that. And then the other thing is things in the interior. I mean, we do have a coffee shop back open up there. We're still working on the restaurant. We really need to do the parking before we do the restaurant because there's no parking for the restaurant customers right now. And it becomes a catch-22. But there's some really good stuff happening. There's some we're working on grants, some, you know, bridge grants. That'll, you know, somebody
have a bridge out there now.
Somebody that can't make up their mind if they want to fly out of here, and this will help them.
You're saying air carrier, not
air carrier, gotcha. And little things make grow. It's a small airport, but it gets a lot of volume, and it's an economic driver, and hopefully some of this work coming up. We've been very fortunate. Most of the work that's been coming up has been done by local contractors.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to move in, move out, you know, move in, move out. They're here. So we get that benefit. So these are all things that are happening slowly but surely. We've been kind of holding off on doing anything with the landscaping and everything else because it's all going to be part of the parking lot project. Mm-hmm. So when you're driving in, looks nice. And when you're flying in, it looks nice. And so these are just things that we want to do up there that will be beneficial for travel.
When we talk about economic development, you know, there's the Walmart syndrome, which I find extraordinarily fascinating. Walmart comes to town, and the prime number one place for its competition is right next door. You know, you don't run and hide; you go right next to them.
Mm-hmm.
In annexation, we hear sphere of influence, and that's true with a whole bunch of areas. What is the sphere of influence of the airport going to be? Are we obviously the industrial park across the street? Okay, great. Mm-hmm. That's built out. You guys throw in a couple store fronts. Great, that's built out. Does McKinleyville become something totally different also as far as economic development?
Well, I would just say, Brian, as you guys both know, I haven't been around all that long in the local area, but talking to folks that have been around, I think McKinleyville has evolved quite a bit in the last 30
Already,
years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the airport can help foster that growth to continue and that development to continue. You mentioned the business park across the street. That's not airport property, but I think there's some plans across the street there for development and additional build out and new businesses coming to the area. We hope to do the same, you know, on our side of the street and on our property too, to really help that growth and economic driving that economic development.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody and Rex from the county. Guys, there are other airports more than just ACV. I can't use the full title because we don't have that long a show. What is the status of those
airports? Nor do you have to.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
but it sorts really well when you go on the internet when the number two things that are visitors at Redwood.
Oh, I remember why Tony was pushing for it. You know. It's like, okay, fine, whatever. You know, it's the airport. You know, or then the airport at McKinleyville, or then ACV for us.
That makes a lot more sense for me to have the McKinleyville airport, you know, the arcade airport in McKinleyville was a lot easier to follow.
It just is a continuation of logic around here.
Brian, I do have to say, I mixed my words in the interview process, and one of the board members, when I was being interviewed, called me out on it. I'm not going to say any names or anything here this morning, but I didn't get the six-word name correct either. So
what is going on with Murray Field? I mean, we hear those that are saying that the modeling for Ocean Rise is going to be right on. Okay, either the place is gone or you're going to have 10-foot dikes around it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, Ronerville, certainly with the interest in the Fortuna and Eel River area, has got a lot of potential there also.
Mm-hmm.
What are we looking at? I mean, those are probably the primary two. You know, everybody loves Neyland to fly in there, I know, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cal Fire does.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
maybe you can cede that over to them like Caltrans did Samoa Boulevard to us.
Yeah.
I don't have all the answers this morning on that particular topic, but that money we were talking about that is about to be granted to us isn't all being dedicated to ACV. While we're working on some infrastructure upgrades that we discussed at ACV, we're also working on planning for those infrastructure upgrades or the needed infrastructure upgrades at Murray Field, Ronerville, and beyond. Two things that we're focusing on at Ronerville and Murray Field here over the next year or two is wildlife hazard assessment, and the goal there is to try to improve some of the perimeter fence and keep wildlife
keep
off.
Keep the deer off?
Yeah, and other things.
The rats.
Yep. As we know with what happened at with the U.S. Air flight in the Hudson, that can be a real concern. So we're trying to improve that. We're also doing an electrical study. So Murray and Ronerville are our only two lighted airports besides ACV. And so that's really a planning process on, okay, what money are we going to chase in the future to upgrade that electrical infrastructure that's very antiquated at those two facilities.
So these are for studies rather than for project-specific development?
Correct, yeah. Unfortunately, with the FAA, and it does help. I don't want to negate the importance of it, but you have to do an extensive planning process before you can chase money to actually do the infrastructure upgrade. So,
do they trump the Coastal Commission?
So
you have to go through that process and then the county process, so you're going through three or four filters?
It depends where exactly the development's located.
Okay, let's say Murray Field.
Yeah. So the FAA is still the primary agency for environmental review. Depending on what the development is, we may have to work with the Coastal Commission, too.
Can you throw some paint on the buildings and at least make it look snappy?
Well, that's another project that we're in the process of planning for and hope to kick off the actual infrastructure upgrades later this year or next year. Yeah,
I think we actually have funding for that.
Correct.
The hangar upgrades, mm-hmm. fueling station, we actually have the
a little bit of Roundup for the weeds too.
So we don't use Roundup.
Nope.
We're warm and fuzzy with our.
All right. With vinegar. Hot water.
Salt and vinegar. Hard labor.
And the preventative maintenance is really what I think you're getting at from a bigger picture perspective, Brian, with that question. And we're with the board's support, we're investing in a lot of equipment to implement a preventative maintenance program. We're going to do a big project and overhaul a lot of our hangars, new roofs, new doors, possibly even redeveloping some of those hangars that are very, very old.
For commercial application?
Well, yeah. Going out to bid and having a professional, demolish the old and construct new. But on the airfield side, it's equipment-based and personnel-based, like Rex brought up earlier. The board supported us recently by increasing our maintenance staff by 50%, and we've brought in a lot of people that have a lot of talents that can help us out with those preventative maintenance measures. We're also getting a crack sealing machine, new painting equipment, just things that we can do a rotation with all of our airports and each year be making drastic improvements across the system.
Yeah, I would think TLC would be, in many situations, a drastic improvement. Yeah,
absolutely.
Having something being paid attention to.
It's the first visual a lot of people see coming in. I mean, flying in is kind of neat because you see the private ocean, you see everything else and stuff like that. But when you go, there's a lot of private. We have a lot of private people flying in. I mean, people from inland love to come over here on the weekend.
Every taxi in,
they can break out their jackets they haven't seen in 3 months and things like that. But we want to give them a better experience. I mean, the new fueling station will have the upgraded card lock system, so we don't have to man the fueling station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of those improvements.
Yeah, there's a lot of upgrades, and they're on the books and they're funded. So mm-hmm. those things are all in process. So we're pretty happy about that.
Have you gone out to bid on those yet?
So actually, we got board approval here recently, and at ACV, Ronerville, and Garberville just this week, end of last week, beginning of this week, the card lock systems or the new computer systems for pilots to utilize and fuel up, those have been installed and they're up and running. The Murray Field project that Rex was mentioning, the board approved a few months ago, and we have the order in for the new tank. We're running into logistics and supply chain issues on the tank.
The normal stuff. Okay.
That we all deal with on all projects right now. But we have a new card lock system ordered for that as well. So that'll be a completely new system and really improve that customer experience or that first look that visitors get to Humboldt when they're coming into Murray.
Yeah, you start to get some attaboys out of it.
Well, that's hopefully. Thanks to this guy here and four others that are supporting us funding-wise, too. So.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time, it's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex and Cody from the county. Guys, these smaller airports, I know they don't get an awful lot of attention, but if there's an equivalent to a neighborhood school, mm-hmm. I would think it's a neighborhood airport or the community airport. Is there any abilities for those communities, Fortuna, Eureka, Garberville, to do anything with the airports? Or are they FAA-driven and it's more like federal property and you really can't do anything? welcome signs. I mean, some real basic, simple things like that. Is there any opportunity for that, or is it treated different because of the regulators and the regulatory requirements?
There's a lot of regulations. I mean, tens of thousands of pages of regulations. But what you're talking about, Brian, on upgrading the aesthetics, you know, some of what we talked about before, we'll do a lot for that. But yeah, we're absolutely open to working with those communities and doing what we can to be a better part of those communities from the airport perspective, and really bring more of a welcoming feel to those folks that are visiting from out of the area.
Yeah, I would think five grand from a city would, you know.
Well, we
they could blink on that.
I'll let the really politician have, take
well,
care of that
good
part.
Support. We've had good support. I mean, a case in point was Garberville. We did a runway upgrade there, and we're trying to get some other upgrades, and we are funding some up at the end. And Estelle, when she was in office, and then Michelle, especially now, has been very an advocate for it. And then you get a few people that always say, well, it's just a bunch of rich guys with airplanes and everything else. And then you start thinking about medical aid. You start talking about...
rich guys have money that they spend.
I've never understand the theory, but there's people that say that. And then you take a look at Jared Phelps Hospital down there. I mean...
Oh, sure.
A lot of their doctors fly in from the Bay Area and work their shifts and fly out. And that's a popular thing to do in those rural areas. So that's so little upgrades. And we've been trying to do Garberville, clean Garberville up a little bit. And they've had a pretty good advocate in Supervisor Bushnell. So that's been a plus. Same thing with Ronerville. I mean, we have a problem with the grass growing too tall. We have a problem with the deer. But we also have a great partner with Cal Fire. Mm-hmm. Cal Fire is a great partner. They're asking us to step up a little more and do stuff. We're asking them to step up because they're using them more, and we're having a great relationship. I mean, it's a love-hate relationship some days, you know, but you know, we just have a new bird up there now, that helicopter for firefighting capabilities, which is huge.
What color is it?
Cal Fire red.
Oh, okay.
It's like a Swarovski. It's not one of the new Blackhawks, but no. That's valuable to have here because response time, sure. Especially now, the way these fires are going from 500 acres to 50,000 in 24 hours.
I thought we could get through the entire show without talking about fire.
Well, that's it. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But I do want to mention, you know, with the great things that are happening in aviation and things like that, and there are monies flowing for other things. Our public works department has done a great job. I go out there all the time, but the Petrolia Honeydew Road is getting better. I know we're doing a lot of upgrades. We've got a lot of FEMA grants coming through that are out to bid. I mean, I think there was over $12 million bid last week alone on jobs here that will go to local contractors more likely, which is always good. We've got our finance team.
Yeah, quick update on that. Are they continuing to make positive progress?
They're making great
progress.
Is the
progress. Fog lifting a little bit more each week?
I see a little more bounce in the step from the people there, and things are moving forward. So I think those things, we're in a pretty big hole, but we're not getting nasty grams from other agencies and stuff like that, and we're not getting the department heads are all working in tandem, offering help, and Cheryl's got another 3 weeks where she's helping out Rhea Dale, and big shout out, Rhea Dale got a new police chief, Greg Allen, one of our former lieutenants out of the sheriff's office, but great deal for him, great deal for Rhea Dale. You got a good officer there. But Michelle and I were down there for that last night for the swearing in. But there's some really good things starting to happen, and we have to take advantage of them now.
When the opportunity is there.
Yeah, and these are good things that are happening all the way along, and it's just aviation is a big part of that, and a lot of that is on the upswing with Cody. You know, what have you been here, 3 years now?
Almost four.
Wow, time flies.
Do the cement shoes still fit?
Yeah.
You realize you're not leaving.
We were fortunate to get him, and he likes it here. And you know, so I think he likes it here. So
I love it here. It's home. And you know, Rex talked about aviation and bigger picture. There's a lot of good things happening because of actions Rex and the board and the communities are taking with growth at Cal Poly and offshore wind farms and fish farms. And aviation's just a big part of that, and we want to be part of that process moving forward.
And you've dropped your accent, so you can't leave.
Don't you know?
See everybody tomorrow.